Hello, and a very warm welcome from my conservatory on this Palm Sunday. This is certainly doing church differently, but I have to apologise to Jenny as I do not have the vicar bookcase behind me. But first, let us pray. May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We are here on a slightly different Palm Sunday to the normal. No palms to wave, or processions, or perhaps even a real donkey. Not that that may be a bad thing for church wardens tidying up afterwards. But we can still focus now on the events of Palm Sunday that lead us into Holy Week. And I have two thoughts for us to reflect on today, following our Gospel reading from Matthew. And they are crowds and prayer. First, I would like to take you back to last November, pre-social distancing days, to an event I took part in. As many of you know, I am a little bit of a gym freak, and last November I took part in my first ever powerlifting competition here in Letchworth. This was a qualifier in the hope of making it to a national competition. For those of you who are not familiar with powerlifting, it involves squats, deadlifts, and bench press. And if that still makes no sense, then drop me an email or message me on social media. I admit to being very nervous on arrival, as there were so many people there, and it was more official than I thought it would be. I even had to wear a special outfit. As the competition started, and we took our turns at the three exercises, I was suddenly struck by the noise and the cheering from everyone in the room. My nerves eventually subsided as the cheering gave me a confidence boost and rallied me on. Sadly, I did not qualify and was to take part in a second qualifier last Sunday, but obviously this has been postponed for the foreseeable future. Like many sporting and social events, the crowd factor plays a large part. For any of you that go to football or rugby games, you will know the feel-good factor of being in the crowd, especially when your team win. It is especially good to be part of a crowd where there is a common purpose for which we can identify. It can be uplifting and memorable. The entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on a donkey is very much a crowd occasion. I've been part of churches where we have acted out or processed outside, but I'm not sure we did more than just catch a glimpse of what it must have been like to belong to the crowd in Jerusalem that Sunday morning. Some of us here at St Paul's have had the privilege of going to the Holy Land and walking down that very road that Jesus took into Jerusalem. If I close my eyes even now, I can visualise that place and how it may have felt all that time ago. The rumours about Jesus must have been rife, the things he was saying and doing. Was this the long-expected Messiah? Was he the king to be? People in those crowds must have caught the mood from the excitement, and it must have been amazing. This could be the turning point in their history, and a story that they would take home and share with their family and friends. A tale they would continue to tell for the rest of their lives. Yet, as we know, crowds can be very fickle in their allegiances. The crowds who gather on a Saturday to cheer their football team on to victory can soon turn to shouting abuse and threats if their team lose and let them down. And so it proved in Holy Week. Many who cheered and waved palms on that Sunday would have been the same people who on the following Friday stood and chose to release a prisoner free and have Jesus put to death. Jesus had failed to fulfill their expectations. The story of Palm Sunday and Holy Week can remind us that when we belong to a crowd, it can be for both good and bad. It can boost our impulses and desires, perhaps an uplifting church service. But it can also play out our worst motivations. Crowds can turn ugly, start riots, attack innocent bystanders, and become a voice for racism. And of course, it doesn't always have to be a physical crowd. Particularly at this time, the use of social media has increased the potency of the virtual crowd. Groups of people posting comments in a similar vein can create a sense of belonging, for better or worse, to some huge groups of people with whom we share a common cause. I would suggest that some of the very best and worst of humanity has emerged from this type of crowding into the real world. The crowds cheering Jesus on in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday were excited as they expected a new king, like David before, to reign over them and save them from oppression. Jesus is going to be the sort of king they wanted. But Jesus knew that nothing is that simple. And we know that Jesus had come to Jerusalem not to be enthroned like David or Herod, but to be killed. The meaning Jesus attaches to this triumphal entry is quite different to the meaning they were expecting. And this leads to my second point on prayer. Quite often, in times of national emergency or crisis, we turn to God and prayer when we want something badly. Church attendance can leap in times of war or earthquake. Or perhaps anybody remember the death of Diana, Princess of Wales? And how the churches played their part? Today's situation is obviously different in that we can't access our buildings, but there is still a need and a want for prayer. Suddenly, we all want to ask the big questions. We all want Jesus to ride into the city and become the sort of king we want him to be. Pay my bills and hurry. Heal the sick and do it now. Give me a job by this time tomorrow. And perhaps the most common of all, help. Jesus intends to answer our prayers and others, but he doesn't wait for our motives to be pure or for us to have sorted our lives out first so that we can look him in the eye and do business with him. Of course he doesn't. He came to seek and rescue the lost. And it isn't the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick. The crowds wanted a king to rescue them from evil and oppression. But Jesus was going to rescue them from evil in its full depth. Not just the surface evil in Roman occupation. Jesus says yes to our desires at the deepest level, and therefore he may actually say no or wait to our desires we are conscious of or have expressed. You see, that's the thing with prayer. Once we invite Jesus to help, he will do so more thoroughly than we imagined, more deeply than perhaps we wanted. If you invite an accountant to help you with your income tax return, you mustn't be surprised if she goes through all your other financial affairs as well to make sure she's got everything right. So we need to focus ourselves in this Holy Week and in these strange times on prayer, whether that be on our own, with a friend on the phone, via social media, or by asking for prayer via our website. Let us recognise the difference between our expectations and those of Jesus, and take a large step in prayer towards wisdom and humility. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the times when we have felt part of a mighty movement, for moments when the presence of many others has lifted our spirits to you. We also remember before you all who fear the crowd and have been its victims, and pray that you will heal their wounds. We invite you into our lives more deeply than ever before, particularly at this time of social distancing, so that we can fully participate in your journey to the cross and to new life after. Amen.